Hi, I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off. Give me a call, won't you? Hello, and how wonderful it is to be back for our new year. And I hope everyone had a wonderfully happy new year. And thanks for being with us tonight. Let's get right into the program, since tonight's program is a one-hour program. The telephone number to call is 1-866-666-7926. That's toll-free in North America, although it does work from all over the world. But if you are an international listener and you want to participate, you can go to the chat room at www.ourplace.acbradio.org. And we are airing live at 1 Universal, which is a Monday at 1 Universal, Sunday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Central. Let's get right into the program tonight. We have, I'm very fortunate tonight because I get to spend some time with a good friend, a neighbor, and someone whom I respect a lot in his involvement with a hobby that we both enjoy, and that's amateur radio. Kevin Nathan, welcome to Marlena.
Well, thank you, Marlena. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
And you, of course, you and I met through ham radio, but we'll get to that in a second. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do when you're not hamming?
Well, let's see. I work for the Department of Services for the Blind up here in Washington. I moved up here about 3.5 years ago. I'm an Idahoan by birth.
Is that how you say it?
That's how you say it.
I always wondered if it was Idahoan.
No. People have called us worse, but I run the Independent Living Program. I manage and coordinate that program for our department, and we serve a lot of the older blind, people in Washington, and also people who, for one reason or another, can't go to work, or, you know, aren't able to at this point.
Yeah.
And then, if I'm not working, I do like to sail. I thoroughly love to get out here on the waters with a sailboat and just me, the wind, and a few friends.
Yeah, that's a whole other program, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that in the spring.
And I'm a musician. I like to read and sing and that kind of stuff. I was sitting here enjoying Vivaldi as we were coming on, and it was nice.
Well, now, have you been blind all of your life?
I've been blind from all of my memory. I went blind when I was 2 from retinoblastoma, and I don't really remember anything else, like color or anything like that.
So functionally, you've been blind all of your life.
Yeah, it's all I've ever known.
Yeah. And how long have you been in amateur radio?
I started. Now, I'll admit my age here.
Oh, goody. Let's see. I actually know.
I will be 52. In October of this year.
Yes, our birthdays are close together.
And they are very far apart.
Yes.
But I started out, and I will start out, I think, a little bit before I actually got into ham radio. I have always been fascinated by things electrical and radio. When I was a kid, my parents had a little thing they got from Sears that was a radio and a record player. And I can even remember at 5 and 6 spending hours in front of that, listening to the radio and playing records and things. And I was an only child, so it was good entertainment and kept me out of my parents' hair. But I remember we would go to visit friends. Back in those days, there was it seems like now you almost have an appointment to go visit folks.
Yeah, exactly. But let me check my planner,
yeah. And back in those days, there was a lot of back and forth visiting. I mean, you drop in on your friends or they drop in on you with no warning at all, and it was just, that was cool, that was what you did. But I remembered a lot of our friends still had those big old floor model stand-up wood radios that were a piece of furniture.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All of my parents' friends knew, and my parents knew, you know, their motto was children should be seen and not heard back in those days. And so they knew if they plopped me in front of that radio, I would be occupied for however long they stayed there. And I would listen, and if it happened to have a shortwave on it, I mean, that was truly cool.
Yeah.
Because it made all these funny sounds, and once in a while you'd hear, a station coming in from real far away in a different language or something.
Yeah.
And that interest followed me up until my teenage years. And when I went to the state school for the blind in Idaho, my dad bought me as kind of a going-away present a little shortwave radio. And I literally wore it out in a year, listening and carrying it around, listening to South Africa and the Armed Forces Network and all the good stuff on there. And he got me another one the next year with another band on it. And I would listen to these guys talk on Sunday afternoon particularly. There was one guy I remember, and he just sounded so good. And that led me to get, after my eighth grade year, that led me to get an old communications receiver from a guy that ran a TV shop up by the grocery store that was close to our house. And for those who are in ham radio, this will bring back some memories. It was a Hallicrafters radio. It was called an S41G.
Oh, even I know about that.
But it had one little tricky characteristic that I learned about very quickly. It was what they called an AC-DC set. And what that meant was there was no transformer that isolated the body of the radio basically from the power lines. And I decided, a friend of mine told me it would be a really good idea to ground my radio. Now, unfortunately, he didn't tell me to unplug it first.
Oh, dear.
And so I put in a ground rod outside my window and hooked a wire to it and came in and had that wire in one hand and latched onto that radio with the other and got really bit.
You saw stars.
Oh, did I get charged. But on that thing, it covered bands that my others hadn't. And I learned that you could actually listen to shortwave in the daytime, which was really cool. And then one night I heard a guy talking about how he was kicked back in his chair. He had his feet up on a footstool, a big old cigar in his mouth, and he was just living the life. And I thought, gosh, that sounded neat. So I heard his call sign, called up the guy I got the radio from, and said, who's this K7QQP character anyway? And he told me his name. I got his phone number, called him, and that's the beginning of the story. He took me down, showed me these radios with all these dials and switches and stuff like that, let me talk to New Zealand, and I was hooked for life. And that was, I was 14, so I've been, this year will mark my 30, what do I want to say? I was licensed in 68, so this will be my 37th year in ham radio.
Wow.
In September.
Wow. So you've seen a lot of changes in equipment and so forth, and I want to talk about that in a bit, but, you know, today when we talk to hams or people who aren't hams, but especially I find blind people who are sort of interested in hamming, and you know, you say, well, you know, you just got to get this license. And I say, oh, the studying, it's too hard. Tell us what you had to go through back then to get your license.
Well, what you did, number one, you had to learn code no matter what level you were interested in. Now they've got a no-code entry license that will get you in and some privileges enough to get you talking and enjoying the hobby. But back then, you had to learn code. So the first thing you did was you found or bought or built a code oscillator that made just a high-pitched tone, and then you had to have some kind of key to learn to send with, and you would learn to send and receive, and if you were lucky, you had a friend or some friends that would work with you and send to you so you could learn it, and then you learned by sending as well, but you always learned to send easier than you did to receive, so you needed really somebody to send it back to you. And there weren't any, at that point anyway, at least that I was aware of, there weren't any license manuals or anything like that in an alternative format. There might have been, but in Boise, Idaho in 1968, we certainly didn't know about them. So we just went down to the bookstore, got a copy of the American Radio Relay League license manual, and my dad and my friend read it to me. And I memorized the questions and the answers, and what I appreciated about that was nowadays you can get on and you can learn, you can look at sample tests and you can look at the question pool, and some people I've actually heard will get their license by just memorizing the answers. And that's okay as long as you learn once you get in. But back then you almost had to learn some electronics. You know, you kind of had to get a grounding in the basic stuff in order to know the answers.
Sure.
Because they didn't give you the multiple choices in the book.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a call. Let's bring the caller. Whoops, let's push the right button to bring the caller. I almost hung up on the caller. Hello, caller. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
Dave, WA6BEF, of course.
Hello, Mr. Dave.
You didn't think I'd come not call on this one.
No, I knew you would call.
I'm actually only about 3 years newer in the hobby than your guest. I was first licensed in 71. And I remember my first call. What was your first call? Mine was WN6JKV.
My first one was WM7KXR.
Okay, now, hold on, you guys. Before you get too far into first calls and all this other stuff, explain to people who might not know, why would you have a first call? Why don't you just have the same old one you've always had?
Well, what happened a lot of times is, with me, for example, you got a call that had an N in it for novice, which was the entry level. So mine was WN7KXR. If you, within the 2 year period that license was good for, then upgraded to a higher class license, that N would get changed to an A. I think in the even earlier times it dropped altogether, and so you got like a W7, when they first put in the novice calls, or a K7. In our case, the numbers here in the United States, anyway, denote a certain part of the country.
All right. And what about you, Dave? Why do you have more than one?
Well, my call basically because, unlike him, I managed to have about a 3 month period in there. Well, first of all, I had a novice license. Mine was WN as well. Theoretically, had I licensed straight on into the general, I would have been B6JKV, probably, because the A's were in California, were given out in the late 50s. I only know that because I knew several of my friends were licensed in the 58, 59, 60 area with WA6 calls. But in any case, I managed to have about a 2 month lapse in license. So when I went to the FCC, and this is, of course, recognize, we had to go to the FCC. There's none of us taking, you know, we could license TAMs ourselves now, you know, if we're volunteer examiners. Back then, you had to go to the FCC, and in Los Angeles, that meant up on Spring Street and go up on the sixth floor and sit in front of an engineer and do your code. And that was where they really wanted you to know it too. I mean, you couldn't fake it. It was 13 words a minute, and you had to get a full minute straight characters correct, or else, you know, you were done.
Yeah, and like you, Dave, I had a lapse in license, and then I got a different call, and then I had a chance in 1976 to get a what we call a vanity call, which is the one I hold now.
Mm.
And at my call right now, you'll recognize the letters in it as K7RX.
Oh yeah,
and so it's the first, it's the last three letters of my first call sign.
Hmm. Well, that's cool. Well, I should probably vanitize mine, but I haven't. I've had the same call since 1973. And through license, and I figure it's so old, I've had it so long now, it would be too weird to change. But anyway, I remember really neat walking, the same thing as you, walking through my, we had a next door neighbor, the two doors down, and he was a ham. I was only about 8 years old at the time, and I remember what going through his mind, what is that? It's what's called a ham radio. And all I knew was there were all these cool buttons on it. That hooked me for life, and I had a Helicopter Sky Buddy shortwave at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Had a great time with him, but this is basically, it's an interesting hobby. I do find that we're having more trouble right now. We're kind of being legislated out of existence in a lot of neighborhoods, and that's kind of too bad, but otherwise, I guess it's still a pretty good hobby.
All right. Well, thank you.
So take care, Marlene. Have fun.
All right, and give my love to Miss Pam.
Shall do.
All right. Bye-bye. The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. And again, if you are listening at any time other than Monday at 1 Universal, which is Sunday night at 5 Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern, you're listening to a rebroadcast. And if you call the number, you'll get a fax machine. But we've got another caller. Hello, caller. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling? Hello?
Hello, this is Barb.
Hello, Barb.
K1EIR, how about that?
Hey, all right.
I recognize that call.
Yes, yes, it's good to hear you, Kevin. This is fantastic, and it's a lot of fun.
It's nice to hear your voice instead of through JAWS.
You know, isn't that true? Same, same here. But I was licensed in 1958. That's when I started. And I can remember taking that novice test because I was pacing around. You know, I was waiting for a friend to come over to the house to give it to me, and I was scared, very nervous.
Absolutely terrified.
It was over Christmas vacation, and that's what we did, My twin sister and I, my twin sister is K1EIC, and the two of us took our novice tests. And back then, for the novice call, it was K-N-1-E-I-C, K-N-1-E-I-R. So.
Now, Barb, why did you and your sister want to get into ham radio?
My uncle was a ham. His operator, his call was W1-V-G-P. And I was the one that was really interested back in sixth grade. And, I used to listen to all this and, ask all kinds of questions and listen to shortwave and, at the time, Betsy wasn't, totally, but then we both, we'd go down to the local radio club and we'd go to Uncle Art's house, and of course he would show us all the equipment, and we'd start turning dials, just like, Kevin was talking about. And then, one thing led to another, we started in Well, you got our novice, and you went a year later for your general class license, which you had a copy code at 13 words a minute, and then do the, the theory tests and in front of the FCC.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask Kevin, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to try to remember to ask this of everyone who is a ham who calls in. What, off the top of your head, what's the most exciting contact you've ever made? And either one of you can pick to go first. I know you've made so many, it's hard to think.
Well, you want to do ladies first, Barb?
Oh, you go ahead.
I think probably just for sheer fun. I mean, all of them are exciting. I'm into what we call an aspect of ham radio called DXing. And the idea of that is to talk to as many countries in the world as you can. Now, the downside of that is very often that conversation doesn't last very long because, a gazillion other hams want to talk to the same guy or lady. So, it very often it's just kind of almost a contest atmosphere of can I get in there and get my call heard among the thousands that are calling this person. But I think the most fun contact I ever had was I got on one night, and I was speaking with a gentleman in Tahiti. And he wanted me, back in those days, this was about 20 years ago, it was real common for most of us to have what we called a phone patch connected to our radios that would let us kind of unite our radio and the telephone system. And so it was real common to get somebody that was out in the ocean or on an isolated area somewhere, and you would talk to them, and then you'd make a call to say their relatives somewhere in the States, and then they'd talk through your radio. And it was a lot of fun. And some people may remember doing that from, like, Vietnam through the Mars program and things like that. But this guy wanted me to call his boss. So, and he told me his boss's name, but it didn't register. So he says, well, try his L.A. number first. So I tried this L.A. number first. He says, okay, well, he might be in his New York apartment, so try that number. And I did that, and still no answer. He says, okay, well, let's try one more. He's got a home in Houston, too, so let's try that. I signed off with a guy, and then I realized who he was having me call. This guy was the captain of a private yacht sitting in the harbor of Tahiti, and he was trying to get me to call Peter Lawford.
Oh, my word.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
Unfortunately, it didn't work, but
oh,
I tried.
Wow, that is exciting.
So that was one of the more memorable ones I can.
Gee, and I was excited last year when I hooked up with somebody on 20 meters from the New England area who wanted me to call their daughter in Seattle. I thought that was...
Marlena, what's your caller?
K7NLH.
Okay, that's right, NLH. Now, you're located in where now?
I'm actually very close to Kevin. I'm in Seattle.
Oh, you're in, okay, you're both in Washington State now,
yeah.
Not in Idaho.
Yeah.
Or
Marlene is about, we're both in suburbs of Seattle.
Right.
Oh, so you're local to each other.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm about 20 miles from the city, and she's maybe five or so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in any case, my story, one of the most, I've had many, several exciting ones, but probably one of the most exciting ones was when I first contacted Liberia, Monrovia, Liberia.
Oh, wow.
And I still remember the guy's call, EL5A, and apparently he was a missionary. It was really quite, it wasn't a regular, sometimes when they talk about, making DX contacts, sometimes it's just your name, location, and signal strength, but this was rather, good conversation about, who he was and what he was doing and that kind of thing. So, that was really interesting. And I guess the other exciting one was I one day was on and I worked, contacted, and we say on radio, we'll say that we worked someone, but it was Roy Neal, K6DUE, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
NBC, I think it was.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's cool.
So that was kind of, kind of neat.
That's
but
cool.
We really share a lot of interest in, very, very similar kinds of, I think, experiences. I've been in traffic handling most of...
Now, explain what that is.
Yeah. It's actually what it is. It's sending and receiving and relaying and delivering and or delivering messages throughout the country, and going back, we used to get a lot of military messages from the Great Naval Training Center, Great Lakes Naval Training Center in Illinois, and the messages would be they'd all say the same thing. Would say, "Arrived safely, U.S. NTC Great Lakes, Illinois. Will write as soon as I get my company number." That kind of thing. And we go to the families. One of the great aspects of that was delivering messages to people. The reactions was phenomenal. But both my sister and I did a lot of, we still do a lot of public service message handling, and it worked in disasters and earthquakes and floods and hurricanes and you name it.
A really neat story right now is
in the
Nicobar and Andaman Islands. There was a de-expedition, we call it. That's where a group of hams will go somewhere where nobody has been before or for a long time, set up shop and start handing out contact. And there was a group there in Andaman Nicobar through December doing just that. They were kind of breaking ground. They were a low-power group. It was hard to hear them up here in the Northwest. I heard them once in 30 days. But the minute that tsunami and earthquake hit, they shut down the de-expedition, and they started handling communications out of Andaman or Nicobar because they were the only thing working.
Yep.
And
yeah,
so
amazing.
It's kind of neat the way that works.
Yeah. And that's often the case. Well,
I'll say 73 on the phone here so that others can call.
All right.
I don't know how many lines you have, available there.
Yeah, we just have one at a time.
No, well, this is fine. I'm going to say 73. Wish everyone the best and, for those ham operators out there, hopefully we'll see you on the air or on, they have all kinds of stuff now on the computer too that you can hook up as well. So.
And I am going to ask Kevin if you've got it in your head before the end of the program to give out the listserv information.
Oh, I would be more than glad.
Yeah, because, if people, you don't have to be a ham to be on the list, and it's the best way to learn about
that
things.
That is, yeah.
Exactly.
Take care. Great to talk to you
nice
both.
Nice to meet you, Barb.
All right, Barb, great to talk to you.
Okay, good enough now. So
okay,
long.
Bye-bye. The telephone number is 1-866-666-7926. And again, if you are listening at any time other than 1 Universal or 5 p.m. on a Sunday or 8 p.m. on a Sunday East Coast, then you're listening to a rebroadcast. Hello, with whom are we speaking and from where do you call?
Hi, it's Sue.
Hello, Sue. Now,
hi, Kevin.
I know you want to be a ham.
I do.
You told me you did.
I do. So, before we run out of time on the show, for those of us who've always been intimidated our whole life, Kevin or Marlena, I always wanted to be a ham, but didn't think I could have learned the code. I didn't take the time to learn code. But I'm getting ready to retire, Kevin, probably in the next month or so.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me where I should start.
What I would do at this stage of the game, I mentioned...
In my old life.
Yeah, in her very old life.
I mentioned earlier that they now have a code-free license. It's called the Codeless Technician.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you on, you're not going to get on and work the DX, but it gets you on some VHF frequencies. There's a lot of use up there, a lot of what we call repeaters that people will put up in a high peak so you can drive around or walk around and talk to friends and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun.
Is it kind of like the old CB?
Yes, except it's
before
clean.
It got junky.
It's clean, it's organized, it's regulated, and it's a lot nicer.
Yeah, but I mean,
but
before CB went bad, it used to be kind of fun.
Very much like that. And what you would probably do, what I'd recommend anybody do out there right now, there's some great assistance out there for people who want to get into this. I mean, you could do it through a local radio club. And if you can, that would certainly be a wonderful way to do it because usually you're in with a bunch of other people trying to learn it just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And you make friends and you've got some buddies. Then when you do get your licenses, you've already got some folks you know to talk to. But the other way, especially for study materials and so on, there's a group in Minnesota called Handy Hams. They're part of the Courage Center in Golden Valley, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a hold of them. I believe their web address is www.handyhams.org, or Handy Ham, or handyhams.org. I can't remember.
H-A-N-D-Y?
H-A-N-D-I.
D-I, okay.
And they produce study materials, I think on MP3, on recorded material on tape. And they've just about got anything you want in terms of study materials. They actually have rigs they can lend to some degree to members and things like that. And they do a lot of modified, for example, for the quadriplegic person who wants to be a ham, they actually invented what they call a puff and sip keyer.
Cool.
Where you could send code by either blowing or sucking on a straw. Mm. And so they've done a lot of modifications like that over the years, and they're just great folks to talk to.
Now, if I wanted to go up and get what's the next license above, what's the one you said, novice?
Well, now it's technician. They call it a codeless tech. You could get your general next, and then there's an extra class, which is the really tough theory. The fastest code you have to do now, I believe, is 5.
Oh, well, that's good. That's,
yeah. Oh, yeah, you could do 5.
That's down to my level.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I did 13, and I just made it at 13, but 5.
How long have you had your ham license, Marlena?
See, I've been licensed 8 years.
Okay. After you met Gary?
Yeah. I never believed I could do it. I always wanted to do it from the time I was 14 years old.
Yeah, me too. When I was a kid, I had a Hallicraft radio. And,
yeah, me too.
And I played with it. My mom bought it at some estate sale.
Well, and I always thought I was too stupid to learn it. And then, you know, I met Gary, married Gary, and he had this whole ham shack set up, and he kept saying, "You're not stupid. You can do it. Just." So I got the stuff from Handy Ham, and back then they were just on tape. And I read endless amounts of hours. And then I would ask Gary, "Okay, well, I don't understand this. What does this mean?" And he would explain it to me. And, of course, they didn't have listservs then either like they have now.
One of the best things you can have, though, listservs aside and everything else, is a friend or an acquaintance who is a ham who you can call and say, "Well, what do they mean by when they talk about this or whatever?" Because a lot of people don't want to get on a nationwide or worldwide list and say, "I don't know."
Right.
But we call them Elmers. I don't know where that name came from for sure, but I had a wonderful Elmer when I was a kid, several of them. And I could ask him anything, and it wasn't stupid. You know, as long as I was just asking the question, they were willing to take the time to explain it to me.
And does NLF have any good books on ham?
You know, I don't know.
Some novels out there that are about it. I don't know that they've got any up-to-date manuals.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be a good question.
But there's some good books out there that are, there's some novels that have been put on Talking Book and in Braille that I've read that have ham radio as part of the theme.
And the interesting thing about ham radio is, you know, you can find, like, I'm less interested in the technical aspect. I love to listen to people and get to know people. I'm much more interested in the social aspect.
Yeah, that's what I'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Or helping if there's a disaster.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. And like here in the Seattle area, for instance, we have a friend, N7KGA, Ralph, who's very involved in search and rescue. And he and his wife, Debbie, and 7FL go up into the mountains and they rescue people out of the mountains. And
wow.
There's a repeater here where you can just sort of monitor that. And if there is a rescue going on, that repeater is pretty well dedicated to hams being able to communicate from the site to other hams who might be monitoring, you know, to help with making phone calls and that sort of thing. So it's a lot of interesting stuff.
There's something there for just about any interest
yeah.
you can imagine.
Yeah.
One last question, because you probably have a lot of people trying to call in. Is there still equipment that we can buy that isn't so doggone digital? You know?
Oh, that was going to be one of my questions. So.
That's a good question. I'd like to speak to that kind of in depth here in a little bit, Marlene.
Yeah.
Then you know what? I'll get off the phone.
All right.
It's so frustrating. I want to buy a new, a radio receiver, just tuner for my stereo. And my God, you'd have to memorize 57 buttons, you know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So I can barely figure out how to operate my dishwasher. So on that note, I guess I'll go.
I can't operate mine yet, I'll be honest.
Well, we just got a new one for our new house, and I'm not sure I can either, but...
Well, that's a good excuse not to have to do the dishes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will stay tuned, and we'll get to chatting about the different equipment.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin. Good show, Marlena.
Thanks, Sue.
Pleasure meeting
Bye-bye.
You, Sue.
Bye. That's my friend Sue Amateur here in Seattle.
I knew that voice.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You are just crowding the lines here, Mr. Kevin. Hello. With whom are we speaking, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Marlena. This is Marcia.
Hello, Marcia.
W-A-H-Z-J-U.
God, everybody I know who's a ham. I didn't know you were a ham.
Oh, well, I guess I kind of keep it under wraps for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, wow. All right. Marcia, meet Kevin.
Hi, Marcia.
Here, hang on just a second. I just want to say hi to, what's his name?
Kevin.
Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Marcia. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I started out in 1964 as WN8MIY, and I hated my call, which was a novice call, and I said, I got to come up with some phonetics. I was like 11 or 12 years old. My dad said, oh, just say WN8, Marcia is young.
I love it. It's better than the ones I came up with from my second call one time on the air.
What were yours?
Well, it was WA7QVP was my second call sign I ever had, and it just wasn't something you could make very much out of, and one day I was calling what we call calling CQ,
right,
for anybody to come back to me, and I just was trying to think up phonetics, because we always try to think up fun ones.
Right.
And I came up with WA7 Queenie's Vital Parts.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
And I shut up the mic. I got off the air for a good half hour and came back on. And unfortunately, a friend of mine had been listening and just gave me no end of misery over that for several months.
Oh, my goodness.
But I like Marcia is Young much better.
Well, my WA8ZJU, I said, I'll pay anybody any money if they can come up with some good phonetics for that. And somebody did. I said, I'm not paying you for this. They said, zipper is torn. And I was like, no.
No, that's not a good one.
Nope.
When my first call in Alabama was KF4MPS.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got so nervous the first time I was on the air with it, I said, this is KF4PMS.
Oh, that's good.
And I bet somebody razzed you for a while.
Oh, dear. They didn't let me forget that for a long time.
If nothing else, Gary would.
Oh, dear. So then I changed it to Marlena's Pretty Smile, and I could remember
great.
It. But now it's Kilo 7, Never Lose Hope.
Never lose. Oh,
that's
wonderful,
yeah.
Marlena.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
All right, Marcia. Well, we got a lot of calls. Did you have
any other? Well, I know that. I just wanted to ask about Handy Ham. I've been licensed as a technician. I'm trying to grandfather up to general, and I know I can do that. But how do I do that? Does anybody have I know it's 5 words a minute, right?
You would have to 5 words a minute, and then just study the
actually, I didn't think I had to do code.
Well, let's see. If you have your tech.
Yep, I've had it since 67, so that means I can grandfather up.
Yeah, you would probably be do best. I'll tell you what I would do, I think, is I'd call the American Radio Relay League.
Oh, okay, ARL.
And ask them what they, you know, what they would recommend in terms of, you know, because I know there was a period where you could just say, you know, show your license and basically be grandfathered in. And I don't know if that still holds or whether that was only for a limited period of time. I don't remember.
Okay.
But I would call the ARRL and they could probably tell you.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much.
Well, good luck, Ms.
Nice
Marcia.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Marlena
All
and
right.
Kevin. Nice talking with you both.
Thank you. Call
good
again.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
The telephone number is 866-666-7926. Quick, oh, my goodness gracious, we may not get the equipment question in. This is great. Hello, with whom are we speaking, and from where do you call?
Hi, Marlena, this is Dave Mardhouse, and 2 a.m. calling from Brookneal, Virginia.
Now, here is a voice I have not heard in years.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Real pleasure to make your acquaintance finally by voice.
Also.
And I have been a ham since 1978, and it's truly an amazing hobby, I want to tell you.
What's one of the most memorable contacts you've made, Dave?
The most memorable contact that I've ever made, well, first of all, let me give you a little bit of background. One of my keen interests within amateur radio is the amateur satellite service and amateur activity on the International Space Station and things like that. And I was just sort of puttering around the shack one morning, and I was messing around with a satellite tracking software package, which was a computer program that lets you predict where certain amateur radio satellites, when they will be visible to your particular area. And I was tracking the space shuttle. Actually, it wasn't the space shuttle. It was the Mir space station, which has since disintegrated, and there were some Soviet cosmonauts on board, which were radio amateurs. Well, actually, they were Russian cosmonauts at that point, because the Soviet Union had disintegrated. And at the time, I did not have any big antennas up at all. All I had was a 2 meter and 440 magnet mount antenna sitting indoors in a window. And I happened to notice that the Mir was passing to an area where I could possibly get a signal from them. And I said, ain't no way I'll be able to work these folks, because every radio amateur all over North America is trying to get a signal to the Mir. And I dialed up the frequency, which happened to be 145.55, and I heard the guy on Mir calling CQ. It was U2MIR. And just for the heck of it, I answered him. Got him on the first call.
Wow.
I was in shock.
Wow, that's
I
neat.
I love it.
That's neat. Well, thanks for sharing that story with us, Dave. It's great to hear your voice again.
Yeah, good to hear you, too.
Pleasure to meet you, Dave.
It's been a long, pardon me?
It's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Pleasure to meet you, too. And if I can speak a bit to accessibility of equipment.
Sure.
It's a mixed bag out there, but you can get accessible equipment. A lot of equipment does have speed synthesizers in it.
And, yeah, it sure does.
One particular radio, which I'm absolutely tickled with, there's Kenwood makes a rig called the THF-6A, which is a tri-band HT, a portable, a handheld radio. And also ICOM makes a very accessible radio called the ICT-90A, so those folks who are possibly sitting out there being concerned about accessibility, sure, that's a problem, but that is by no means insurmountable. And anyone who is out there who is thinking of getting their amateur radio ticket, go out there, do it. It's well worth doing, and it is something you'll never regret, and you'll have tons of fun. I've been a ham for over 25 years, and it is still as magical as it was the first day when I picked up a microphone and picked up my CW key as well.
Yeah,
so it's a trip.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Dave.
Okay, it's even gotten me into various things career-wise, but that's a whole other story. I know lots of people want to call, so take it easy, guys.
Take care,
all right,
Dave.
Hey, Dave.
7-3.
Dave, listen, drop me an email at marlena@acbradio.org. I'd like to talk to you about a program idea that just came into my head.
Absolutely. Feel
right.
free, and I'll give you my email address, and we'll touch base.
All right, good.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave.
7-3.
7-3.
Marlena?
Yes, Kevin.
If we might Well, the phone isn't ringing at the moment.
Yes.
Oh, there it is again.
Well, let's ask the caller if they... Hello, caller. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
This is Lois in California.
Hello, Lois. Can we ask you to hold on just a moment so that Kevin can finish his thought?
You bet.
All right. Go, Kevin.
Well, I just wanted, because I think it's important people know this. I wanted to speak to that accessibility question, and it has come a long way from some of us have been under tonight started, when you counted dial revolutions and things like that to know where you were. There is a radio, in fact, I just purchased one, and I sold what's considered a nicer radio to get it, again made by the Kenwood Company. They seem to be one of the best at accessibility. And I bought this thing almost strictly initially for accessibility. It speaks so much. So many of our radios today are menu-driven. And there are several that simply, the menus are not read by the speech. They'll tell you what frequency you're on and how strong the signal is, but that's all they'll tell you. But this Kenwood I just purchased is called the TS480, and it will speak so many of the settings. It'll say what the item is, and then what the level is currently, like mic gain or keying speed or whatever. And it's not that expensive a radio. The radio itself is under $1,000, with the attachments, the typical things you would want to add to it, a couple of filters and the speech module. It comes out around 12.5, but that's still in today's radio market quite reasonable for something that's so totally accessible by a blind person.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with this.
Yeah. All right, and of course the Kenwood HT, the THF6A.
Oh yeah, I got one of those too.
Yeah, me too.
I love it.
They're lovely. All right, well let's bring Lois in. And I knew you'd call tonight, Miss Lois. How are you?
I am just fine, and it's good to hear you again.
Thank you.
Hi, Lois.
Hi, Tim. Is it Kevin?
Yes, it is.
Yes, pleased to make your acquaintance. This is WB6PLR.
All right.
I have an extra class license, but I didn't change my call. It's like changing your name. And even though at one time I could have had a much shorter one, I elected to keep what I had.
Yeah,
I've
got the extra, and the only reason I changed it is because my dream was a K-7 call.
Yeah, I understood.
But I've got the extra class as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I think the best phonetics I ever heard for it was, "We believe six people like romance."
I like it.
Yeah, and I always called it "People Like Romance," but that was the full version. And interesting, your comments about new equipment. I'm currently not active. That doesn't mean I won't be again. But I was very active from 1976 on until just a couple of years back, and I started out with a pair of Drake Twins. You remember the 4 series, Kevin?
Oh, they were very, very nice radios.
I loved those because I used to count rotations. I had a, frequency markers.
Crystal
I had
calibrator,
those things.
Right?
But I used to count rotations.
Yep, that's what I did.
Yeah. And
that
I
worked
got...
great until you got a radio that was really weird. I had a Swan rig.
Oh.
And it turned out that it was 16 and two-thirds kilohertz per dial revolution.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
You have to really have a nimble mind with math.
Oh, my gosh. How many abacuses did that wear out?
Actually, the brain.
Yes, the brain, the fractions.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the fractions would be long on.
But
on
I'm pretty
the
good
abacus.
At fractions to this day, actually.
Right, yeah.
Well, now, Lois, let me ask you the question of the night. What is your most memorable contact on ham radio?
Oh, gracious. I became a big DXer, and I ended up later in 1991 with a used Kenwood 940S. Beautiful thing. And I got the speech chip with it, so it would read frequencies and whatever, and I could work split, do all kinds of things. I did that with the Drake Twins, too, except that this was much easier, and I got some help, and I've got a 50-odd foot tower up here, and a TH7 beam, 7-element beam for 10, 15, and 20. And one day, I was playing around on 15 meters, and it was wide open into the Indian Ocean, and I made a contact in Mauritius. And
wow.
The fellow wanted a phone patch, and I couldn't get the people he wanted, but I was able to call a message to them later. And at that time, I was also collecting from the mail I got from the QSL cards for DXing, I would keep the exotic stamp.
Okay, hang on. Hang on. Back up. What is a QSL card? Not everyone may know.
You make a contact that is interesting for one reason or another, and especially for DX, because there were contests, and these cards verify your contact. You exchange cards that tell the time and date of the contact and the name and call and address, et cetera, of the sender.
And lots of people save those.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I've got one room papered wall to wall with them.
A lot of these abbreviations, for those that aren't, because you hear us use a lot of jargon, like everything,
yeah.
We have our own terms. But a lot of the terms like QSL and DX and stuff like that came from the old days of Morse code, because it was much easier to send. There's a whole series of signals that begin with Q,
yeah,
that were used because not everybody could send English. And so you could actually, if you knew these Q signals well enough, you could carry on enough of a conversation to find out who you were talking to, where they were, how strong your signal was, etc.
All right, Ms. Lois. Well, unless you have anything else, we'll move on and see if we get another caller.
Yeah, just quickly, it's very difficult to say which is the most contact I was most excited over, because I did some public service stuff, too, and I ran some phone patches into the Pacific Islands and on Aniwetok. I remember talking to a fellow once and ran some patches for him. This was the late 80s, and he was there with the Navy, and they were cleaning up old bomb debris under the islands. I think it was in the Northern Marianas somewhere. There was an island whose name I can't pronounce. And they were diving and picking up old World War II bomb debris.
Wow, great. Whoa. Yeah. All right. All right, well, you have a good evening.
You
nice
too.
To meet you, Lois.
Thank you, and nice to make your acquaintance. Bye-bye. And Marlena, this is great. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
866-666-7926. We've got about 10 more minutes. We can maybe take another call here. Hello, with whom am I speaking? From where are you calling?
A real stranger. This is Frank Casey, W2JIO in Albany, New York.
Hey, Frank.
Hi there, and good evening, Kevin.
Good evening, Frank. How are you?
Great. I'm one of those people that has one of those nice Kenwood TS-940Ss, and they're great.
Kenwood is probably, and I'm not meaning to plug the company here, but they've done the most, I think, to make sure their rigs are accessible for blind folks.
I started out as WN2HKU in 1963 and went to WB2HKU and held that until I upgraded and got Bob Gunderson's call, who was my Elmer, and I upgraded to that or changed to that in 2003, and I got my amateur license while I was taking my electronics course at the New York Institute for the Education of the Blind in Bronx, New York.
All right, and real, oh boy, I'm getting feedback here. And real quick, Frank, what would you say is your most memorable contact?
I don't have a real most memorable one. I remember I enjoyed speaking with Roy Neal.
For Roy.
Yep. Very nice guy. All my calls are important. I've been using EchoLink lately on 2 meters, which has been very exciting. I've talked to New Zealand and Australia.
Well, and that's going to lead very beautifully into where I want to go next with my conversation with Kevin.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you do that, but I wanted to call and congratulate you for a great show and say hello to Kevin.
Well, Frank, thank you.
All right. You're welcome. And give my love.
By the way, my wife, Kathy, is also a ham. N2SQY.
I was just going to say, give my love to Kathy.
I sure will.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'm trying to talk mine into it.
Yeah.
We'll get her there yet.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we need 2 hours tonight, Mr. Dave. Hello, this is Marlena. With whom are we speaking and from where are you calling?
Hi, Marlena. This is John Glass. And you.
Hey, John.
Calling from Saratoga, California.
Hi, John.
Hi, Kevin. Nice to make your acquaintance.
Same here.
Marlena, if I could, I just wanted to mention two things very briefly. First of all, you've been talking about Handy Hams, and Kevin mentioned their website. They also have a toll-free number that people can call to get information on the study materials and other services that they offer. And that phone number is 866-426-3442.
Okay.
I'm glad you have that. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. The other thing that I wanted to mention is a lot of people are probably aware of the fact that the American Council of the Blind has a ham radio affiliate called ACB Radio Amateurs.
Yes,
and
yes.
ACBRA holds its meeting each year at the ACB National Convention, which, of course, will be in Las Vegas this summer. Excuse me. During the convention, we meet on 2 meters on 147.48 Simplex. Actually, we have a net that we hold, an informal net, each evening. And
John, when and do you know usually when that is?
It's usually 8 or 9 p.m. It varies from year to year. We kind of take an informal survey of the people who are there to see what time is most convenient for them.
Okay.
But we have an email listserv for our members, and anybody who is interested in the organization, you don't have to be a ham. We try to provide help to people who are interested in getting involved with ham radio and getting their license, as well as providing, you know, interesting speakers at the at the meeting we have each year.
Have you got the email address for that?
I don't have the email address because you actually have to be a member in order to join our listserv.
Ah, okay.
But if anyone would like to join ACBRA, our treasurer is Robert Rogers, and his ham radio call is K8CO. He's in Cincinnati, Ohio. And if anyone would like to get in touch with him, they can give him a call, or actually probably better yet, send an email to rrrogers@nuvox.net.
All right. All right, great. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Marlena.
All right, have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. And actually, that's going to be our last call, unfortunately. Kevin, I could have kept you here for 3 hours.
Yeah, we probably could have done it.
Well, and if I had the ability to tell the automated software not to kick us off the air, I would do that. A couple of really quick things. One friend of mine asked me, please ask him, what is the code for the at sign? Do you know?
Oh, you would ask me that.
I would.
I don't remember.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. He doesn't remember either. That was for Jeff Bishop, who is riding around in a car and can't get in to listen.
Oh, sorry, Jeff.
Yeah. And another question, and we've got about 5 minutes, give or take. Another question, with all the technology of today, we know we talked about EchoLink, which is licensed hams communicating over the computer with other licensed hams. But with all, you know, you've got Skype and MSN and, you know, you can communicate. Why would anybody want to become a ham?
I'll tell you what the appeal is for me. I mean, I've used some of the internet things. I haven't tried EchoLink and stuff like that. But for me, it's talking to somebody in another part of the country or another part of the world or just across town. But I'm doing it without the help of a computer systems, you know, several computer systems between me and them. I can talk to somebody on a far desert island if they've got a battery, a radio, and a piece of wire. And it's the idea of using my own expertise, the antennas that I may design or I may purchase, but in one way or another, it's a station I'm engineering to some degree to talk to somebody else. And I think that's the part that excites me as much as anything else.
Yeah, and I think also for me, you know, I do use EchoLink, and I also use all these other Windows communications tools. But I can't help out in an emergency on EchoLink as likely.
Exactly.
And, you know, Skype and MSN, you know, they're not going to be there. But once you're a ham radio operator, as Kevin says, if you've got a radio and a battery, you've got an opportunity. And I think that as a blind person, you know, at least I often feel that, you know, there are so many things, so many opportunities, people help me and so on. What do I give back?
Yeah, it's kind of a way to give back.
Yeah. It's definitely a way to give back. All right. And if people want to get a hold of you, Kevin, how could they do that?
I'm going to give my email here.
All right.
Which is the easiest way. It's simply my call sign, K7RX in phonetics. That's Kilo 7 Romeo X-ray at Comcast, C-O-M-C-A-S-T, .net, and I love to get email.
and he even answers it, too.
I want to mention one other thing, if I have a moment.
Yes.
There is a listserv out there for blind hams in general. It's called blind-hams, and it's done on the St. John's University listserv. So to subscribe to it, you would send it to listserv, L-I-S-T-S-E-R-V, at Maelstrom, and that's M-A-E-L-S-T-R-O-M, dot stjohns, dot edu. And then in the body of the message, just type subscribe blind-ham.
Okay.
And they'll come back and they'll send you a message for confirmation, and you're in. And there's a lot of us on there. Then you'll see anything from talking about why Echolink's a problem at the moment to talking about Marlena's radio show. But it's all about the only question is the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. We're always there to help folks, and I've established a friendship with a gentleman I've talked to over in Northampton, England, that we talk on IRLP, which is another internet-linked thing. But it's a neat way to make friends, get questions answered, get encouragement, and it'd be a really neat way for people to get involved as well.
And I think, you know, the bottom line is just believe in yourself. It's a wonderful hobby. I don't profess to be one of the most technically astute people in the hobby, but it's a wonderful hobby, a wonderful way to meet people and learn things and share what you know.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Kevin. I appreciate this.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll get a lot of email. One quick thing, if anyone wanted to telephone you, is there a way they could do that?
They could do that. My number is 253-874-1518. And remember, we're on Pacific time, so you'd have to do the subtraction, you know, for your part of wherever.
Yeah. Yeah, we're, what, eight?
8 hours behind you.
Yeah, UTC minus eight is where we are. So, all right, Kevin. Well, I appreciate this, and you have a wonderful evening.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Bye-bye. 73 and 88.
73 and 88. Well, we've wrapped it up for another week. You will next week have a pre-recorded program. Gary the Board Guy and I will be on a business trip for 2 weeks. And so we will see you in 3 weeks from tonight. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you next week.